today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Marriott changes the cancellation rules, and it's not good news. Soon you can tip your Uber driver. And did you miss Nude Hiking Day last week? Updates coming up.
We're always here to make you a smarter traveler, and at 3:20 we answer your mailbox questions, including, what if the upcoming solar eclipse doesn't happen?
And you paid a lot for some hotel rooms. Recently, we told you about a special event at the Rosie the Riveter National Park site in Richmond. At 3:35, we have more details on the attempt to break a world record.
Americans are finally using more of their precious vacation time. Is it a trend? Will it continue? We talked to U.S. Travel about vacations at 3:45.
Finally, at 3:55, we address the issue of road rage. What causes it to happen? How should you deal with it?
It's a busy hour with lots and lots of information to make you a smarter traveler. Thanks for joining us here on the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise.
To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome to another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK. It's a beautiful Sunday. By the way, we're brought to you every week by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano in studio in Sacramento. Mark Hoffman, our travel expert, is on the road again. Mark is in Marquette, Michigan. I don't know why he's there. Mark, why are you in Marquette, Michigan today?
I have 30 sports leisure travelers along with me on vacation in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we are headed for Mackinac Island. Is our last stop on this particular excursion. We've spent five days actually exploring the Upper Peninsula, the UP as they call it up here, with all of the Upers as they refer to themselves, and we've really had an excellent trip. This is really a neat place, Tom. We'll have to talk about it a little bit next week, because the Keweenaw Peninsula, as I talked about last year when I came up here, is a pretty awesome place, and not too many people in the Sacramento area probably know where it is or what it's about, but by golly, when we get done next week, they will.
Awesome, awesome. Well, as we always do at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio show, we got lots to cover today, but we always start off by bringing you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Well, Tom, let's see here. We mentioned in the headlines about Uber. It appears as though they have given in to pressure from their drivers, and they're going to change course and add a tipping option to the Uber app. As you know, Lyft, you've been able to tip Lyft drivers for quite some time, but if you use the app, the ride-sharing app, and summon an Uber car, you've been unable to tip the driver. Of course, I guess you could always tip them in cash. There are some other changes brought on about the Uber drivers. These are great changes for drivers, maybe less so for riders. You may have heard about these in case you haven't. Drivers are going to get a cancellation fee if riders cancel more than 2 minutes after ordering a car. Currently, it's 5 minutes. So if you cancel your car in more than 2 minutes after you've ordered it, you're going to incur a cancellation fee. No word on what that fee is yet. And drivers are also going to be paid for time spent waiting for riders. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out in terms of, there's no word yet as to how that's going to work out for the riders. Are they going to be charged more? Or is Uber just going to reimburse the drivers out of the kindness of their heart, out of their own pocket? I kind of tend to doubt that one. So look for there to maybe be a wait charge imposed for those of you who are using Uber. Because after all, if you were using a taxi cab and it pulled up at your house and it took 10 minutes before you were ready to go, the driver would turn the meter on. So it sounds like a fairly reasonable policy to me, although it's probably going to catch a few people in its talons there. Marriott has imposed a new customer unfriendly cancellation policy. It has popped up last week. It was caught by some travel bloggers. It appears as though a number of Marriott brands in the Americas have changed their reservation rules, so you now have to cancel 48 hours prior to arrival or else be charged a fee. Many of the hotels had, about a year and a half ago, we reported, had changed their cancellation policies from 6 p.m. on the day of arrival to 24 hours in advance for no fee. But it appears now that Marriott is going to offer their customers a little less convenience and a little more fees. Marriott says this allows them to resell rooms that are not going to be available at the last minute. Of course, it also calls into question the fact that, like the airlines now, Marriott may collect a fee from you for canceling your room and then turn around and sell that room to somebody else. And some folks might declare that, gosh, that's not all that fair.
Well, you know, I have a thought, and that is it's just one of those smarter traveler tips, is that regardless of where you're staying and where you're booking, always be sure to ask what the cancellation policies are, because as we can see, they're constantly in flux and you may or may not have been notified previously. So be sure to ask what they are as you're booking your stay.
And if you are booking through an online travel agency, heaven forbid, but if you are and you're getting, you know, an email or you're printing out your reservation, whatever it is that you're doing, make absolutely certain that you double check those cancellation dates, because as Marriott increases theirs, here's what's going to happen. If other hotel, major hotel chains match Marriott, then this will stick. If the other major chains like Hilton and Hyatt and some of them don't match Marriott, then this will probably go away. So we'll watch it over the next couple of weeks, but it's really important, as the cancellations have gone from same day to the day before and the like, to pay attention and make sure. Some resorts charge a cancellation fee 3 or 4 or 5 days or even a week before you arrive if you cancel. So you should know what those fees are when you make the reservation so that you will know when you have to cancel. One of the ways we could maybe make you just a little bit smarter traveler. Okay, back to the news here. Icelanders are a bit annoyed. It seems as though Iceland is so overcrowded with tourists that some people are going door to door asking for a place to stay. Two French tourists did this in recent weeks, went door to door asking for a place to stay, according to residents of a town on the west side of the island. According to one of the residents, she was disturbed by travelers one evening when they came to her door looking for accommodation. However, she refused their request. When she found the request uncomfortable, the couple then knocked on every other door in her apartment complex, as reported by local media. They were refused by everyone from the block and moved on to the next block with the same request. The interesting thing about this is that the news media in Iceland is reporting this isn't the first time they've heard of this. So apparently people are heading to Iceland without hotel accommodations or finding hotels overbooked, have no place to stay, and are going door to door to local residents to ask them for accommodations. That's just a bit strange. Wow. Anyhow, I thought that was kind of an interesting story. Independence Day is one of the most popular holidays in the United States, and according to AAA, a record-breaking 44.2 million Americans will travel more than 50 miles from home to celebrate the birth of our nation. AAA is expecting that 1.25 million more travelers will hit the roads, skies, rails, and waterways this year as compared to 2016, and most of them will be driving on Highway 80 between Sacramento and... Oh, no, that doesn't say that in the report. It will only seem like there is 1.25 million more people on Highway 80 next weekend. But anyways, more people on the road, bad news for those of you who are planning to hit the road. You might have heard in the headlines that Nude Hiking Day was last week. Tom, did you catch that?
You know, I wondered about those naked people that I saw there, you know, traversing the slope up there on... I've never heard of this before. Tell me more.
Apparently, our buddy Chris Elliott was... this was a week ago Wednesday, so this would have been 10 days ago. Apparently, he was in Yosemite, perhaps on this day, because he and his kids caught, according to a column that he wrote, caught two guys scaling Yosemite, sans any clothes, and actually saw this. So let's hope that they were on Nude Hiking, or maybe
no.
Nude Climbing Day. Would you attach the rope? Nude Hiking Day. If you missed it this year, why, stay tuned, and we'll try to give you a warning in advance. Next day, there is a place in France where the bus drivers are refusing to wear pants. Bus drivers wore skirts in protest of a prohibition banning them from wearing shorts, even though temperatures on board some buses sometimes can reach as much as 115 degrees. Women are allowed to wear skirts, if and when the temperature gets over the 100-degree mark. But the guys are not allowed to wear any short or short pants, and so the French bus drivers protested last week by wearing skirts for 2 days. So if you were in France and you saw that, you did actually see that. Many of the buses in Paris do not have air conditioning. Mm-hmm. So the drivers were really kind of complaining that, you know, they're in this circumstance where it's so hot and their bosses are in air-conditioned offices somewhere. So that was kind of sort of their point, I guess. Last week, or a little over a week ago, actually, a week ago Friday, the president announced a change in travel policies to Cuba. We are going to talk about this in great detail next week. But for now, let's just say that it's become much more difficult for an individual to travel to Cuba. But it is not any more difficult to travel with an organized tour group, organized by a tour operator to Cuba. So we'll have some more details on that next week. But Cuba has changed now a little bit, sort of. It's kind of halfway back to where it was before. So catch the travel guys next week, and we will fill you in. One last story here, Tom. Some tourism sites suffering from serious overcrowding. And what they were going to do about this, and here comes Machu Picchu, will now have timed entry permits to access the site starting next month. There just are too many tourists who want to visit the site, and they're concerned about crowds. So presently, you have to purchase tickets in advance, but there were no time restrictions. Now you will be obligated to, starting in July, to make a reservation, and you will get a time-divided slot either morning or afternoon from 6 a.m. to midday, or from midday to 5:30 p.m. to visit Machu Picchu. So if you're planning a trip there in the foreseeable future, know that now you have a little extra barrier there, but it might prove to be a good thing because it might allow you to have a better experience at that UNESCO World Heritage Site than you would have had previously. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. And coming up after the break, we'll dip into the Travel Guys mailbag. Answer your questions to make you a smarter traveler.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends.
We're back. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And from time to time, we answer your questions, which come to the mailbag, as we call it, at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, I know you got a few good questions, and give me a moment to break in between them, because I have one here to share with you, and I'll tell you a little bit about it when the time comes. But what do you got for us this week for our listeners?
All righty. I've got a couple from the mailbag here. The first one, a lady has written in, and she's asking about, she goes to the theater often in San Francisco, and she says, I'm getting a little hard of hearing. She says, I understand that there are some hearing assisting devices that you can get from the theater. Do you know anything about those? And indeed, I do know something about those. My company takes folks to the theater in San Francisco on a very regular basis. In fact, if just about any major show that's showing in San Francisco, you can pretty much bet that Sports Leisure Vacations is offering a trip to go see it. So after that quick little commercial, hearing impaired. If you're going to a major theater in San Francisco, I know some of the Broadway houses in New York have this, so I suspect that this is fairly common around the country. Yes, there are hearing assistance devices that you can get from the front office in San Francisco. They ask you to leave your driver's license or another form of identification. That's just to make sure that you will bring the device back. And then it's a very small device that goes in your ear. It's pretty much a headphone with a small listening set that picks up the radio, picks up the signals and allows you to hear the conversation on stage in real time. So it's not delayed in any way. It comes to you live and you can hear very well. And I strongly recommend for anyone who enjoys the theater or a concert, anything like that, to inquire if you have any sort of hearing impairment, to inquire when you purchase your tickets, because many places now have built systems, sound systems, to help hearing impaired people into their buildings, especially a lot of the new buildings. So in many cases, there are a variety of great devices available for people who are hearing impaired, who go to the theater or other indoor type events like concerts and stuff like that. Thomas, you have one, I think, there on your end.
I do. We normally get our questions in the mailbag. You go to travelguysradio.com and right there you can message us your question. A gentleman, Scott, actually came by the radio station and did a handwritten note specifically for us. Says, Travel Guys, first of all, he thought we were going to have somebody on, an expert on travel insurance this week, but unfortunately we don't, but we do have Mark. He says on August 21st, is the date for the total solar eclipse, the one that's going to cross Oregon to South Carolina. Everybody's talking about it, and a lot of people are going. His question is this something you could purchase travel insurance for in case it's not visible due to clouds, fog, etc.? Mark, I know you're not a travel insurance agent. Your thoughts?
Well, in this case, I did a little homework here, and I have not been able to find any travel insurance per se that will cover you if the eclipse does not happen. Just so that folks understand, in the case of hotels, of cities that are going to be in what they call the path of what is it, total?
It's a total solar.
They're going to see the total. Yeah, they're going to see the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And so many of the hotels and stuff along that path, especially up in Oregon, there's a large swath of them, are charging some really high rates. And they're having minimums, 2 and 3 night minimums, for people to be able to come and see the eclipse. So this is no small ticket item, and it's a great question. But the reality is that standard travel insurance policies have exclusions for things like this, and I called one travel insurance company, TravelGuard. They told me that would be considered a weather-related situation and an act of God, and therefore they would not cover it. If you bought a trip and the eclipse didn't happen, that you could not send an insurance claim. It's an excellent question, but I couldn't find anything. I did contact my own homeowners insurance agent in Sacramento, and he told me that there probably are companies that would be willing, insurance companies that would be willing to write a policy, a special policy, like if you were taking a group of people or a family of 8 or 10 or 12. He said it probably wouldn't pay for just one, a company wouldn't be interested in one person, but if there were a lot of people going and they could write a policy and that would get them a premium that was sizable enough, that he felt that there were companies out there that would be willing to do that. And I said, well, how would you approach that? And he said, well, what you did by calling me would be a good start. He said, so I would recommend to folks that if they're looking for coverage for something like a special event like the eclipse, is to contact the person who handles their homeowner's insurance, the agent who handles their homeowner's insurance, and question them as to whether there might be a company. He also told me that even if you found somebody who would write this, it would not be inexpensive, that the premium would probably be 30 or 40%. He said the premium would be whatever the chances are of it being cloudy that day, plus another 10 or 15% for the insurance company to make a profit. So there you have it. That's a kind of a complicated, long-winded answer, but the answer is probably, maybe, possibly, there might be a way, but you would probably pay a lot of money for it.
Well, thanks, Scott, for taking the time to come down and bring us your question, and thanks for listening to the Travel Guys. Mark?
Thank you for making all that effort. Okay, one more quickly here. This comes from a gentleman who, he says he's a business traveler. This happens to him a couple, 3 times a year. It just happened to him last week. He was in Houston. His flight got canceled. He couldn't get back to San Jose. The hotel charged him as a no-show. He said, you know, seems kind of unfair since I couldn't get there. It was a weather-related situation. It was kind of an act of God that kept me from getting there, and yet the hotel charged me. So he said, is there any way to avoid such charges in the future? I have to tell you that I've had this happen to me. And we talked about cancellation policies, especially at Marriott, changing and being pushed further out. But I've had it happen to me 3 or 4 times in the last few years where I've had travel plans have gotten hung up by an airline generally, and not been able to get where I could. And I called the hotel personally myself, told them that I was on such and such an airline and certain flight number and that the flight had been canceled and I couldn't get to the hotel. In every single instance, the hotel was willing to cancel the reservation without charge. So if you find yourself in that situation, be a smarter traveler. Pick up the phone. Call not the central reservation number, but the actual hotel. Don't make it up. Make sure you have your flight number and stuff so that they can fact check you and find that you are telling them the truth. And then there might be a chance that you can save that cancellation penalty from the hotel.
All righty then. So if you have something for the Travel Guys mailbag, you go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll be happy to get to it on one of our upcoming shows. As we got the news coming up next with our KFBK news guy, and then right after that, we're going to visit with Rosie the Riveter. Well, not her personally, but the Riveter National Park site's spokesperson. Next, here on the Travel Guys.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane. You can take a ride.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Another special guest on the line. Mark, who do we have?
Well, Tom, you remember a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that the Rosie the Riveter World War II National Historic Park in Richmond was going to repeat something they had done last year, where they created a world record, actually, for most people dressed like Rosie the Riveter. And you asked me when I brought that up, well, how many people did they have? And I said, well, you know, Tom, I think I can find out the answer to that question. So we have done our homework, and here we are. Joining us live on the phone is Marcia Mather Thrift. She's the executive director at the Rosie the Riveter National Historic Park in Richmond. And Tom, the answer to your question is 2,263.
Wow.
Dressed like Rosie last year. Mm-hmm. And Marcia, you tell me that you're going to do this again, and you're shooting for an even bigger number.
We are. We are hoping for perhaps 5,000 people this year. We set our sights high, but we've gotten a lot of publicity and people just love this event.
Now, it's in August the 12th specifically. If folks would like to participate, what should they do?
Well, they should go to our website. We are actually Rosie the Riveter Trust. We're a nonprofit that supports the national park. And our website is www.rosietheriveter.org. And on that website, you can RSVP to let us know that you're coming, and you can find all the information for the uniform that you should wear, basically red polka dot bandana and blue work clothing. But there are specific details so that we can qualify to break the Guinness record.
So you're saying, Marcia, that to officially qualify for the Guinness Book of World Records, not only are the number of people, but they have to be dressed as Rosie the Riveter in a specific manner, correct?
If they are going to help us break the record, they do need to be dressed as Rosie. They're welcome to bring all kinds of friends, family, and other people along in any dress whatsoever. We have a festival afterwards and a lot of fun. But if you're going to come to the Craneway and help us break the record in the morning, you do need to observe those guidelines for the uniform to help us qualify.
Okay, Marcia, we probably have a great number of people listening to this radio program right now who are saying to themselves, Rosie the Riveter, what the heck are they talking about?
Yeah, there you go.
So I know what we're talking about, and you know what we're talking about, but could you give us the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Rosie the Riveter story and why this is important and why it's in Richmond?
Sure. Rosie the Riveter is a famous poster, an iconic poster that many see that was a recruiting poster during World War II when women were badly needed in the shipyards and the airplane plants and doing a million jobs across the country because of the war effort and because so many men had gone overseas. So women came into the workforce in great numbers. A lot of them actually were seeking better jobs and skilled jobs, and they were coming from jobs as nannies or field workers or low-paying jobs trying to support perhaps families at that time. And then many women came from home who actually hadn't worked before. So it was a great period of ferment. Women changed the workplace forever by coming into the workforce. And most people do know the iconic poster, which is pretty amazing. Rosie was a lot more than just a riveter. As I mentioned, here in Richmond, they were actually mostly welders and electricians and shipbuilders of different kinds, engineers sometimes. And the National Historical Park, which is the national park to tell this story, is located in Richmond because we ended up having more intact structures to restore and preserve historically than any other site in the country. So we're spread out all over the city.
And Marcia, if folks are not able to come on August the 12th and be a part of the project, tell us a little bit about the site, what the hours are, and we are going to put a link to both the National Park site and to your organization on our website at travelguysradio.com. So if you're driving around town and you're interested in this stuff, you can find it later by just going to Travel Guys Radio. So tell us a little bit about, Marcia, about the day-to-day activities there at the site.
Sure, I'd be happy to. We have just opened our visitor center about 5 years ago, and it's located on the waterfront on San Francisco Bay, quite a beautiful location. It's in the old oil house that was part of the Ford assembly plant. It's open 7 days a week from 10 until 5. So you can come any day, and we have a lot of interactive exhibits. We have films in our theater. We have docent programs and ranger-led programs, junior ranger programs for kids, and all kinds of activities at the visitor center site. But in addition to that, we have sites up and down the waterfront that you can visit. The park is unusual because a lot of these sites are in private hands, but they're three major sites along the waterfront that you would want to see if you're here. One is the Red Oak Victory Ship, which is owned by the History Museum here in Richmond. Another is the Rosie the Riveter Memorial, which is in a park, a city park, farther down the waterfront. And all the two sites, the memorial and the visitor center, are connected by the Bay Trail. It's about a 1 mile walk. So it's quite a lovely walk, a good place to have a picnic. And then once you get to the visitor center, there's a map and you can find all the other historically preserved sites around the city. And if you like, you can download a phone app and go and tour those sites.
Marcia, is there any charge to visit the site?
There is not. It's absolutely free.
Wow.
But of course, the trust is supporting the park, so we always appreciate it if people become members or make a donation.
Excellent. Our guest has been Marcia Mather Thrift. She's the executive director at the Rosie the Riveter Trust. And we've just been talking about how they're going to try and set a world record, Tom, for the most, a new world record. So more than 2,363 people have to show up and look like Rosie this August the 12th.
One last question for you, Marcia. Is this, can guys come and participate, or does it just have to be women dressed as the iconic Rosie the Riveter?
Well, we think this event is a lot of fun, and we actually had all of our local political representatives and congresspeople dressed up as Rosie last year participating, many of them male, and others as well. So we don't require that you be a woman to participate. We like the idea that the men are really kind of honoring women by dressing up in this costume and recognizing this important history.
Excellent.
Well, Marcia, I really thank you for your time, and Tom's question about how many people sent me off on a little bit of a chase, and I'm glad I found you, and you're able to explain to us a little bit about the site. Good luck in August, and you can bet we will be checking back with you after that event to find out what the results were.
Wonderful. We'll be happy to tell you.
Don't forget now, you can check it all out at travelguysradio.com. We'll have a link there. We are the Travel Guys. More to come.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best.
Here to do our best to make you a smarter traveler, we are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And one of the things we try to do is round up some quality guests with quality knowledge. Mark, who do we have this time?
Well, we're going to U.S. Travel, which for those of you who don't know, is kind of the blanket umbrella group that promotes the United States to the rest of the planet, if we will. And today joining us is Katie Dennis. Katie is the senior director and lead researcher for Project Time Off. And the reason we wanted to talk to her about this today is because last year we had earlier this year, we had Roger Dow from U.S. Travel on the program, and he talked about the importance of people taking their vacations.
And he pointed out that, you know, people just aren't taking those vacations that they deserve. The time that they have available is going to waste, and it has a bottom line impact on the economy.
Exactly. And so some research, Tom, has come out in the last few weeks that shows for the first time in many years, last year, Americans stepped up ever so slightly the amount of vacation days they were taking. So the folks at U.S. Travel are pretty excited, and we wanted Katie to come on today with us and talk a little bit about that, about the importance of taking vacation, which you probably don't have to tell most working people that, but there are a lot of sidebar things that you might not think about. Katie, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the survey that I was referring to and what the importance in all of this vacation thing. What are we all talking about here?
Sure. So you hit the nail on the head. Everybody thinks vacation is important. We get high 90s in agreement with people saying, yes, my vacation is important to me, but we don't take it. Over half of Americans are leaving time on the table. So there's a disconnect there. And I think a lot of that has to do with workplace pressures, all stuff that we can identify with. That said, I'm almost always the angel of doom on vacation usage. But this year, we actually got to be a little positive. People are taking a little bit more.
Just a little more.
Little bit more has a huge effect, actually. When you look at just from last year to this year, people are taking a little over a half day more, but that half day means $37 billion to the economy. So there's a massive impact from it.
Now, as you get those numbers and report that people are taking a little bit more, in the process, do you find out why?
So I think a lot of it has to do with more people planning. We have found in repeated studies that the best way to take more time, to take longer breaks at once, and to be happier in every single category we measure is to plan out your time. And that doesn't mean you have to have every trip booked down to the minute and know what you're going to do with every single second. What it means is you've blocked your calendar, you've thought about how you're going to use your time, and you've at least given yourself the chance, because I think everyone can identify with how much we live and die by our calendars. I know my Outlook calendar is my Bible. But if I don't block time, it's never going to happen. So I think that's something that we show again and again is the number one thing you can do for yourself in actually getting the time done.
Now, Katie, U.S. Travel has just released some research that includes the 30 biggest metropolitan areas in the country and how this whole vacation thing is shaking out. And you have some statistics that relate to the Sacramento area.
I do. It's just a couple days new here. So when you look at the whole picture in America, there's 662 million days that go unused every year, which is an insane amount, right?
Holy cow.
It's insane. But the state of California is actually responsible for more than 90 million of those days. I mean, it's a big state. There's a lot of people. So a lot of time going unused there. Sacramento specifically is responsible for 5.3 million of those days. And it's one of those numbers that's so big, it's hard to conceive of. Like, I know when I hear 662 million unused days, I tried to put it in years. And if you wind back that many years, it's 1.8 million years, which is before humans were even around. It was the era of Homo erectus.
That's crazy. It is.
So there's a ton of days being unused. Now, the potential, though, is also something that we think is really important. If we can take that time at the national level, it's a $236 billion overall economic impact. For California, because it's such a wonderful state to visit, $17.9 billion in direct spend. Sacramento, $673 million in direct spend. So there's massive potential to these days and what they can really mean for, you know, jobs and the state's overall tax base and all the things it can do that has those positive consequences for the people who live there.
What does that say about the business world, the places that people work, their employers? Clearly, and I think everybody has been in this boat. Well, I don't have time to take vacation. I have too much work to do. You know, they can't live without me. I have to be here. And you'll find people year in and year out not using those vacations because they feel that they're going to be missed so badly. Maybe employers need to require that you take your time off.
Yeah, Katie, I know you're the statistics lady, but what's the argument? For yes, you should take your vacation.
So I think actually when we survey managers and senior company leaders about this, they're actually very supportive and very aware of the reasons employees should take vacation, but that message doesn't filter down. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head with the number one and number two reasons people don't take time off. Number one is workload. Number two is no one else can do the job. And when you go down a little bit further into the list, you see things like, I don't want to be seen as replaceable. I, you know, feel guilty if I take my time away. I want to show what I perceive as complete dedication. So you really see a lot of this kind of fear and anxiety building up. And a lot of it really is that fear and anxiety because it's completely left unchecked. When we ask employees if they hear anything about vacation from their employer, the vast majority of them say, no, I really don't hear anything at all. So in the absence of that communication or direction, we're going to err on the side of caution. And you really see that happening. If employers would start talking about this and really open up a conversation, first of all, it would be a very positive one. And second of all, I think they would realize tremendous power in their workforce because vacation is the number two benefit after health plans. It's ahead of raises, it's ahead of bonuses, it's ahead of retirement plans. It is of major importance to employees. And if you could just push that a little bit and be supportive and be encouraging, it's going to do wonders for your culture.
All right. So, Katie, I'm an employer. And I have the same problem, people at the end of the year with vacation left over. Of course, a lot of my employees, as I'm a tour operator, go on vacation. They take people on vacation for a living. So I guess you could argue that we do have, although there's a lot of responsibility with that. But I promise you that I will go back and emphasize to my people the importance of taking vacation because I work way too hard myself. So I know that vacation is an incredibly important thing. Plus, the other strong argument is that when you take some time off, you come back and you are much more effective, easier to get along with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Katie, before we let you go, any last thoughts here about vacation time and why people should take it?
I mean, I think the fact is you are a lot better to work with when you've taken a break every now and again. We've all worked with that person who is just like walking on eggshells around them, and it's just not productive. It's not a good culture. So it really does make a big difference, but it is up to the manager to set that tone. The boss is the number one influencer over an employee's time, even more so than their own family. So I think sometimes managers don't realize how much influence they have. I think realize that you are an influencer and open up that conversation. It'll do wonders for you.
Making you a smarter traveler and a better employee because you took a little vacation. Katie Dennis from U.S. Travel, thank you so much for taking a little bit of your time to share with us. And Katie, once the stats come out for next year, we'll be back to see if this trend is continuing.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
And you employers out there that are listening today, I hope you take a little bit of this back to the workplace on Monday and maybe let your employees know that if they got time, they should take it. And I work with managers and people in this building that do on a regular basis encourage people to use their time. You're in touch with the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we're here on a weekly basis every Sunday from 3 to 4 to make you smarter travelers. And today, we're going to do our best to make you smarter travelers when you get behind the wheel of the family car, whether it's on your way to work, whether you're on vacation. The stuff we're going to be talking about, I think everybody can identify with. Our special guest is Dirk Novell. He's the author of a book called Road Rage Justified. Now, don't let the title throw you. right at first, you see that and you say, well, this guy, you know, how can he condone road rage? Well, that's not the case. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Dirk.
Hey, thanks, Tom, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, let's start with that title. Tell me how you picked it and, you know, a little bit about the title and what the book is about.
Yeah, no, I certainly am not advocating road rage. I'm putting together 50 things that I think maybe cause it, different levels of frustration, but the book certainly is not advocating what goes on the roads, which is pretty scary. But yeah, the title I thought was catchy, gets people's attention, and then the 50 things depicted inside the book really are things, maybe not necessarily laws, but more social etiquette of driving.
Why don't you go ahead and just hit on two or three that are easily described that our listeners could relate to?
The one that every state seems to have an issue with, which is my biggest pet peeve, is the fast lane driver. I call it the left lane camper. It's really the driver that is going the speed limit in the fast lane or even less than that and you know, will never move over. And, you know, you got the mergers, right? You know, the guy who doesn't look or the merger who stops. They're getting onto a freeway. They decide to kind of slow down to 10 or 15 miles an hour. And you got cars behind them that are going pretty fast. So those are pretty scary. Then you have, you know, there's parking ones too. You know, just the other day I got out of my car, I went back, and I couldn't fit in the front door, so I had to climb through the passenger seat. So it's not just driving. It can take place anywhere in a car.
My guest is Dirk Novell, author of Road Rage Justified. You did a lot of research in regards to, you identified those that are the biggest cause of road rage. What categories did you find fit that?
Well, I mean, as far as demographic, it's the male, younger drivers, 19 to 39. You know, but I've seen rage in every walk of life. I mean, you know, elderly, whatever. It's not just, you know, alien to one group, but it's everywhere. But definitely with the men that are younger.
And you pointed out that drivers living in the Northeast are more likely to yell, honk, or gesture angrily than people living elsewhere. I mean, how did you find that out?
Well, this is data that I found from a AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety. So it wasn't data that I came up with. I just did my research. And, you know, from my discussions with the various radio stations in the Northeast, I think it's pretty spot on.
Dirk, do you think this would be, you know, the kind of book everybody has to either have a family member or somebody they know that really, it doesn't matter what anybody does on the road while they're driving, they are always ticked off. You know, this guy's driving too slow. This guy cut me off. They feel victimized. Are these the kind of people you would want to buy a copy of this book for?
Yeah, all of the above. You know, it's interesting when you analyze road rage. I think it's one of the places in life where you can vent and not have to take responsibility. And I think most of the time when people are venting or raging, they're not really even raging about, you know, the incident on the road. It's something to do with a job or a spouse or whatever. But I think this book not only is great for people to learn what not to do, but it's also for the ragers themselves. Because I think at the end of the day, people, you know, they when you get angry, I think it really has nothing to do with the situation, even though it was caused by it. It has something to do with, you know, just what the person's going through.
50 Rules Every Driver Should Follow. You can find them in the new book. It's a fun read, Road Rage Justified, Dirk Novell. You can find a link to Dirk's website and the book at travelguysradio.com. Dirk, thanks so much for joining us on The Travel Guys, okay?
Hey, thanks so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Travel Guys. Now, if you're planning on traveling up north to see the solar eclipse, or you're thinking of a trip to Italy, join us next Sunday at 3. We'll be here to make you a smarter traveler. Have a wonderful week. Stay well, my friends.